Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Once all the hoopla about mapping the human and other animal genomes died down, and it turned out that genes weren't the answer to everything, scientists started taking a closer look at the bulk of the DNA that was ignored during this process. That DNA that was literally referred to as junk. Over time, some amazing discoveries have come out about that junk. And one of the things about the junk in the human DNA, we carry the DNA of ancient viruses in our DNA. Given how often we hear about viruses as the source of dread diseases and something that needs to be conquered and killed and avoided at all cost, the idea that it's part of us and it's literally part of us from the get-go is rather disconcerting. What's even more disconcerting, in a way, but also amazing, are some recent studies that indicate that one form of this viral DNA from a group of retroviruses, known as HERVK, all capitals, seems to be necessary for normal embryonic development from the get-go. When the embryo is just a few cells, it seems to be necessary for their survival and their replication. Whoa, that's a pretty heady concept, isn't it? Other research into the same group of viruses indicates, at least experimentally, that part of their function is to communicate immunity to certain pathogens. Now, this makes sense to me. If you have a group of people who have been exposed to a disease and they survive, one would like to think, in terms of the survival of the species, that they would pass this immunity on to their offspring. And in fact, we know this happens. Natural immunity in mammals is passed on via nursing. Now, in animals, that natural immunity will wane after a period of time, but here again, we become so dependent on vaccines that the question is whether natural exposure confers persistent immunity compared to vaccine. I don't know. Because a lot of times what happens when a disease strikes is that everybody gets so focused on the individuals who have the disease that they don't look at those who didn't. And what's rather sad is that sometimes the ones who don't get it far outnumber those who do, and yet they're ignored. But I think about this because it seems like every time I turn around, there's another vaccine out there. This, in turn, makes me think about doctrine of specific etiology. The doctrine says that the probability that anyone who becomes infected under natural circumstances, let's say by being sneezed on by someone who's carrying a particular virus, is going to get a pure dose of that microorganism, as one would be given in the case of a vaccine. The probability is extremely low because there are always all kinds of bacteria and viruses floating around. So what does this mean to the viral legacy that adult human and non-human animals are passing on to their offspring and that their offspring will be passing on to their offspring? And if some forms of retroviral DNA are essential for embryonic development, what is going to be the long-term effect of this? Granted, we're not talking about something that might show up in 10 or 100 years or even 500 years. But what's it going to be like in the future? I gotta admit, I'm not a real big fan of science fiction, but I find myself imagining a human species as so fragile, so dependent, that it's incapable of normal reproduction, raising young without a totally artificial support system. While it seems strange and even bizarre to the point of a time when I wouldn't want to live, I won't go so far as to say it's necessarily wrong. Maybe that's part of our evolution. But still, when I read these articles about these retroviruses that share our DNA thousands and thousands and thousands of years, and the way they help us, and the way we depend on them, I couldn't help thinking about two ancient sayings. The first one was, tug on a corner and the whole universe moves. And the second one was, make friends with your enemies. Don't badmouth viruses. I'm not even so certain that badmouthing pathogens is such a good thing. I think we need to always get the big picture before we knock one out or we introduce a new one. We don't want to discover at the end of the day that the virus wasn't the enemy. The enemy was us.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.